And today we will be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. We may not get all the way down to 6, but we're at least going to be looking at the first three verses Minister Williams was dealing with, our mighty weapons of warfare, all summer. And guess what? We're going to be looking at that, but we're also going to be looking at Paul. We're going to be looking at the church. We're going to be looking at what was going on in the church. We're going to be looking at the spiritual warfare that was going on in the church. We're going to be looking at the satanic attack. There was a satanic attack coming against the church through the people, using the people inside the church with gifts, false prophetic spirits, anointing, and all these other things. And I'm not going to focus on that stuff. We're not going to focus just entirely on that stuff. But we really want to look at the cross. And we're going to be looking at also 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But mainly we're going to stay in 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. I read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6.
Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you, O God, just for who you are, to know that you alone are our Redeemer, our Savior, our King, O God. You are magnificent. You're awesome, O God, in all your ways. There's no one like you. There's nobody that can compare to just you, O God. So, Father, we ask, O God, that you just have your way in this Bible study. Father, we pray that you set the very atmosphere in this place, even in the hearts of the listener, even in every home where this Bible study is going to flow in. Father, we pray that you have your way. We pray, oh God, even as we take and heed your word, oh God, that you would just continue to examine us, expose us, break our hearts, oh God, for the betterment of your power, your presence, your spirit to work in and through our lives. God, we thank you, oh God, because you said in your word that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ, but Christ, but Christ, but Christ now lives. Christ must live. He must live through us, oh God, not to be a part of us, to help us live, but we must die that he may live. That's the only hope we have in the dark society, oh God, a pagan society, oh God, a confused and a condemned world. The only hope, oh God, is your presence living in us. So God, we thank you, oh God. We bind and rebuke any distraction, oh God, of the enemy, even on this line, even in the phone line, oh God, even, oh Lord, any confusion. Father, we bind and rebuke that spirit. Crucify my flesh, oh God. Help me not to go on tangents, oh God, but to stick to what you're speaking, oh God. You say, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. God, we love you. We bless you. For it's in Jesus' name and for sake we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we thank God to know in this text. And I thank God. I'm telling y'all, I thank God for just the lesson through the whole month or this summer, basically. I think Minister Williams did about 5 or 6 weeks on this same passage. And tonight, we're going to take a look at just Paul's life. And y'all know that even in this, you can read this and know that Paul himself was personally, he was personally dealing with some stuff in him. And it was the crucifixion and the elimination of his flesh that God could work through him to deal with this church in Corinthians. And I thank God, because the first thing he says here in verse 1, he says, now if I, Paul, myself, and y'all know Paul meant little or small, I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent, I am bold toward you. Amen. He says, I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, that with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So even before we get to him dealing with the stronghold, Paul was you could just tell that God was dealing with him personally. Amen. And y'all know why. And I listen, one thing we know about Paul, you know, Paul, and we may turn there a little bit later in Philippians, where it talks about who he was before Christ, mm-hmm. right? Philippians 2 talks about he was circumcised on the eighth day. Philippians chapter 3, he was circumcised on the eighth day. He was studied under Gamaliel. He was of the stock of the tribe of Benjamin. And he was circumcised, and all these things he was. He persecuted the church, and all these things that he did before Christ, right? And y'all know Paul was so elevated in his flesh, or in before he met Jesus Christ, he was so elevated that he was like the number two person under Gamaliel. Gamaliel was famous. He was a scholar. He was internationally known. And Paul was headed in that right lineage, or in those footsteps, basically to make a name for himself. And Paul could snap his fingers and write a letter and have you locked up. That was the power that Paul possessed in the flesh. So when he came here, and over again in the book of Corinthians and Galatia and Colossians and Ephesians, especially in Galatians, we see Paul dealing with these same Judaizers, right? There were those that were Gentiles, or not Gentiles, but the Jews, the spirit of Judaizer. The spirit of works, and come with the works came the gifts and the show and all these things. And this is what Paul was dealing with here in Corinthians. So when he deals with this, he said, listen, I come to you, I beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Jesus Christ. And you see here, even in the beginning of Corinthians, that it's all about the cross. But we see in the beginning of Corinthians and 1 Corinthians, we see how he said to the same church, he said, the preaching of the gospel to them that perish is foolishness. But here he says, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. And over again, Paul talks about the cross. Now, I know he's not talking about the cross right here, but you can see that the cross had to deal with his life. Because guess what, y'all? We can't do it in our strength. We can't do it in our power. We can't make it happen. And over and over again, when we try to do things in our strength, when we try to do it in our flesh, when we try to do it in our power, guess what? We fail every time. And one verse that the Lord was dropped into my heart was in the Beatitudes. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs, I believe, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we talk about poor in spirit. That poor in spirit is not talking about I got to be poor in tangible things or poor in money. That's not what it's talking about. But poor in spirit means that you're at a place where you know, amen, that you know in your heart of hearts that you are bankrupt in and of yourself, that you are powerless in and of yourself, that you know that, listen, and sometimes it's good to know you a mess. Amen. I say it all the time. I'm a whole mess. I'm a whole mess without Jesus Christ. Y'all know that? We are nothing without Jesus Christ. And we got to know it. And the Bible says, if a man thinketh he's something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So listen, we talk about, listen, and I'm going to get their community. We're going to get their church. But y'all, we can do nothing in our power. We can do nothing in our strength. And we know that the Bible says it's not by our power, not by our might, but by his spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. We can't help God help us. We can't help God help our family. But we must surrender our will. We must surrender our way. And Paul's approaching him there. He's approaching them, these Judaizers. He's coming in a spirit of meekness. Amen. He's coming in the spirit of gentleness. He's coming, he says, in the presence to be base, a base among these people. Amen. He did not come. And they wanted him. They heard about Paul. Some of them knew about how he used to be, and they heard his letters. They said, your letters are weighty. Your letters are powerful. If you look at in the same chapter in 2 Corinthians 10:10, he says, for his letters say they are weighty. And his letters are very powerful. But his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in the world by letters, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. Because guess what, y'all? They were boasting in their education. They were and I'm not, listen, and one thing I'm not doing, I'm not knocking education. Amen. I'm not knocking education, but education don't make the man. Education don't make the preacher. Amen. But they were boasting in all these things. They were boasting and who gave them a letter of commendation. There were some saying that I'm of Paul, some saying I'm of Apollos. They were saying, you know, some saying they were after this one. Amen. But Paul said, I came not to know anything among you except for Jesus Christ and him being crucified. Amen. The first point that I have is when you see this, when you see how Paul came, and this 2 Corinthians chapter 10, coming in meekness, coming in weakness, coming abased before them. Amen. First thing we got to know is it's about a personal cross. We all have a personal cross. And the title what we're dealing with tonight is coming by way of the cross. Coming by a way of the cross. And I'm going to use a word, y'all. I'm going to use a word that some of us may not like. I'm going to use a word that may not be nice to our flesh, But guess what, y'all? We've got to be eliminated. And the word is elimination. We've got to be eliminated. We've got to be canceled out. And that's another word for saying we've got to be crucified. Amen. Listen, God is doing some great things. Y'all know that? He's doing some awesome things in community. He's doing some awesome things in ministry. And I'm telling you, last night, street service that we had out there in Venice and Ashby, I'm telling you, we have nothing to do with it. We have nothing to do with it. And to hear the testimony, I ain't going to say no names, of these brothers, and to hear them testify that's been locked up, that's been in jail, that's been on heroin, that's been on all these, listen, and to know, to hear these testimonies of these brothers, they're speaking to the core of our heart. Guess what, y'all? We have nothing to do with that. We're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ now lives in you. And I'm telling y'all, we talk about fruit. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, faith, gentleness, meekness. That's the word. We're going to look at this word meekness tonight. Amen. When we look at these words, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, it's not the fruit of your works. The fruit of the Spirit is not the fruit of what you think or what you feel. The fruit of the Spirit is not the fruit of your gifts. But the fruit of the Spirit is just that. It's the fruit of the Holy Ghost. After we've been crucified, after we've visited the cross, after we've been elimination, amen, Christ's life comes up out of that grave. Amen. So when we talk about the operation of baptism, that we've been crucified with Christ, that we've been buried with Christ, and now we're risen with Christ. The Bible says, and I believe in Colossians chapter 3, it says, set your affections where? On things above. Where what? Christ now sitteth on the throne. And for we are what? Dead. We're dead. We're dead. We're dead. And our life is now hid where? In Christ. Listen. Y'all listen. When I hear the word, we got to die. When I hear Mrs. Warren Williams talk about, we got to die. And we got to crucify. My flesh don't like it. But guess what? It's needful. It's necessary. And guess what? We could talk about the bereavement ministry. We could talk about the choir, the ushers. We could talk about the street ministry, the prison ministry, the deacons. We could talk about our families, the youth ministry, and every one of these ministries. And every facet of our life, Christ's life must be manifested. We can't do it. It's not by our power. It's not by our might. And let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to get back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. But let's first turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Says, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech, or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. And this is what Paul said. He said, listen, he said, for I determined not to know anything among you, except for who? Jesus Christ and him being crucified. Listen, and then he said, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Does that mean he was scared by the Judaizers? Or was he scared by the people in Corinth? Or was he scared by what they could do to him? No, that was not his fear. Y'all know what his fear was? His fear that he would not speak out of his flesh. His fear that, listen, that he would have a reverence. Amen. Just a reverence and a fear for the Lord. That he would do God's work. And y'all know we are vessels. Amen. And, mm-hmm. and we ought to have a reverence, a holy fear mm-hmm. for the Lord. Bible says, for the Lord is in his holy temple. And let the earth be what? Silent before him. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was what? High and lifted up. And his what? Train filled the temple. His train. And the first thing he said, what's the first thing he said? Oh, he said, woe is me. The first thing, the presence of God. That, listen, when you conquer, when you, listen, when you're in the presence of God, the first thing the presence of God is going to do is going to show you the stuff in your life. It's going to show you, he said, woe is me. He said, I'm undone. And I live with in a world with people of unclean lips. That's the first thing it showed him. Amen. And over again, you see in the word of God, when people came into the holiness of God, the presence of God, the first thing they did, they boom, bow, hit the floor, hit the ground. Amen. Peter, James, and John, when Jesus was transfigured, Bible says they hit the ground. When Solomon offered up the sacrifices, right? And he offered up, and the presence of God, when they were dedicating the temple back to the Lord, and man, the Shekinah glory showed up in that place, and the fire came through. The Bible says the word pavement, their faces bowed and hit the concrete because of the presence of God. Amen. People talk about, oh, we were in the presence of God. We were in the presence of God. We had a good time. And man, when I'm really in the presence of God, the first thing it does is show me. That's the first thing it does. So he goes on to say here, he says, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him being crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And y'all know, listen, and there's some things he was dealing with. Just maybe just write them down. So first of all, listen, first of all, he was dealing with the territory. Amen. He was dealing with the territory. There was a satanic attack coming against the church. Y'all know what? And there's a satanic attack coming against Community Baptist Church. Somebody say, oh, don't say that. No, I'm going to say that. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Listen, if we're preaching something, if we're living something, amen, if you're saying you're doing this and you're not getting attacked, something's wrong. Amen. And guess what, y'all? I'm telling you, the presence of God showed up last night on that field. The word went forth. The invitation went forth. Prayers went forth. Testimonies went forth. And then we were closing out. Man, and the devil did not like it. Boy, they tried to turn up the music. The dirt bike started going when we started praying. And guess what, y'all? The more they turn up the heat, the bigger our God is. Amen. Amen. He shows up. And that's why, listen. God does his greatest work in the midst of an attack. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Bible says, but my God shall deliver us from them all. Amen. I thank God. Because guess what? We stop fighting. I remember one time I got into it with the one. Hey, I ain't going to get into it. A couple summers ago. We were out there and I'm just asking the brother to turn out. Listen, you ain't got to fight God's battle. He said, stand still. He told Jehoshaphat, you won't need to fight. Stop trying to fight for God. And guess what? Our flesh, boy, we can't help ourselves. Because we feel as though, guess what? We feel, and Paul, listen, Paul was a bad man in the world. He had weight, he had pedigree, he had degrees, he had all these things. Paul, y'all know what? Paul could have got with them on their level. Mm-hmm. Paul could have got with them on their terms. Mm-hmm. Paul could have said, let me tell you all something right now. And y'all know we got somebody in every family that know how to get with somebody. Amen. Amen. Hopefully the person ain't you. No, I'm just, amen, for real. Being for real. Amen. But guess what? We've been crucified with Christ. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, and I'm telling you, there's people that were priests and teachers in the church that God wants to use. You got a degree in this. You used to do this in the world. You used to do that. We need those gifts for God. No, he don't need your stuff. Amen. So here, he says, listen, he says, I determined not to know anything. So he was wrestling against the territories, right, that was coming against that church. Not only was he wrestling with the territory, but he was dealing with the carnality, the spirit of carnality and the worldliness that was in the church. And not only that, the key, y'all listen, the key for victory, he was dealing with putting his own flesh under subjection. Amen. You want to deal with territories? You want to deal with strongholds? You want the walls of Jericho to come down in your life? Amen. You must put your flesh under subjection. Because I believe Paul, he was chomping at the bit to let these brothers know out of his flesh. But he said, I came not to know anything among you, except for Jesus Christ and him being crucified. Amen. And my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of the spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. So guess what? When we're wrestling against territory, when we're wrestling against all these other things, principalities, powers, guess what? The greatest battle is the battle in your flesh. The battle between the soul and the battle between the spirit. The battle between the old man and the new man. I'm telling you, when you get that battle in check, guess what? Everything else will fall in line. Amen? Everything else will fall in line. It's a personal cross. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, if any man come after me, he must first what?
Deny himself.
Take up his what? Cross. When he says take up that cross, it don't mean take up the cross. I got to go and pick up some wood, put some 2x4s together, and take up my own physical cross. That don't even mean that I got to go buy a big old cross and put it around my neck or put crosses up in my house. But when it says take up your cross, first deny yourself, take up your cross, that's talking about your personal cross. So everybody ought to have a personal cross. Amen. Take up that cross and follow me, because you must come by way of the cross. Amen. And so when we talk about his weakness back in 2 Corinthians 2:1-3, we talk about his weakness. We talk about meekness. We talk about a holy reverence for the Lord. Man, I'm telling y'all, listen. The Bible says, let this mind be in you. That was also where? In Christ Jesus. Right? Where although he was equal of God to God, he made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the what? Form of a what? Servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And the Bible says he humbled himself. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. And he became obedient even to the death of the cross. Man, I'm telling you, when you get in the word, and you get intimate, you fall in love with Jesus Christ. You fall in love with this word. First of all, you got to hide the word. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you got to love the word, because you won't love the word till you hide it. You got to hide the word. You got to love the word, and then you got to obey the word. Mm-hmm. And then you got to let the word replace you. Amen. And I'm telling you, listen, we talk about the spirit of humility, the spirit of meekness, and the spirit of weakness. So back in our text here, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen, when he says, I came to you by weakness and gentleness of Christ. And in verse 2, when he says that I may not be bold, where some would think I am confident in myself. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when he says I came in the spirit of meekness and the spirit of weakness, that don't mean that I'm weak in strength and physical strength. But I'm bankrupt in my flesh. And I'm telling you, when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, and when you see that what a holy God would do for a raggedy, messed up, jacked up man, and to know that God would offer up his everything, it's humbling. It's humbling. It's humbling. And guess what? The word has to humble us. The word has to break us. But Bible says in Psalms 34, this is what it says. Psalms chapter 34. Listen. It says, the righteous cry, verse 17, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their trouble. And then verse 18, listen, we're talking about the cross. We're talking about meekness. We're talking about humility. And we're talking about weakness. Amen. Listen, and it says, the Lord, in verse 18, says, is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Amen. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but my God shall deliver us from them all. Boy, and I'm telling you, the ability to be able to tell somebody off, the ability to be able to give somebody a piece of your mind, we've got to be crucified. We've got to be like-minded. Amen. We've got to take on the mind of Christ. Amen. We got to let it go. And guess what? And some people think, well, if I just tell, I got to let her set her straight. Let me just set the record straight. Right? That's what we say. That's what the flesh says. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, listen what the Bible says in Proverbs. The Bible says, a foolish man appeareth to be wise when he shuts his mouth.
Uh-oh.
That's what it says. It says, a foolish man appears to be wise when he's quiet. Sometimes we got to just shut our mouth. Amen. I ain't going to get too many amens on that. We just got to be
quiet. Amen.
Amen. And let the Lord fight our battle. Community, we can't do it. We can't win this race. Man, and there's so many people. Listen, and when we talk about the soul and the spirit, right? There's a soul on one side, and then there's a spirit on the other side. And guess what? And I'm doing an illustration here tonight, right? We got the soul on one side, and we got the spirit on the other side, right? And in the middle, when we got strongholds in our life, when the flesh is not under subjection in our life, when our tongue is not under subjection in our life, when our attitudes is not under subjection, when what we used to be is not under subjection, Paul won the battle because he dealt with the greatest battle that was inside of him. And yet, too many times we look at Paul as some iron cast, just he was never subject to sin. But if you read Romans chapter 7, that's where he won the battle. He said, the things I want to do, I'm not doing. The things I don't want to do are the things I end up doing. He said, even when I do good, what?
Evil
is always, when I want to do good, evil is always present. So I find in me another war, warring against the law of my flesh. Amen. Bringing me unto condemnation. bringing me under subjection of the law. Amen. That's what he said. So guess what? Paul had the battle. He had the battle. Peter had the battle. He lost some battles. Amen. And guess what, y'all? We all have a battle. Let's turn there. I'm sorry. We're going to deviate just for a minute. Listen, it's all lines up. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Let's read it because I messed it up. Listen, he says in verse 15, he says, for what I would do I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but what? Sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth some good thing.
No good thing.
Dwelleth, you know, just 5% of good things. How about dwelleth some good ideas? How about the church? Guess what? We can improve the church. We need to do it like this church or do it like that church. Dwelleth a little bit. He said, in my flesh. Guess what? That's a tough pill to swallow. But guess what? It's a good pill to swallow. Y'all, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He don't say something. He don't try to give a list of, well, these are good things either. No good thing is in my flesh. Romans 8, how's it go? For the carnal mind is what? Enmity. It's hostile against the things of God. Amen. Neither is it subject. Amen. That means my flesh hates God. It hates God. That's why it can't get right. That's why you got distractions when the word gets ready to go forth. And I ain't just talking about in the phone. I'm talking about in your mind. We got all kinds of distractions that want to keep us out of the word, and it's our flesh. That's why if the preacher preaches over 40 minutes, you got a problem. We got a problem. What else better is there than to sit under the word? Amen. We need the word. Amen. He says, dwelleth no good thing. And then he says, for I know that in me, in my flesh dwells no good thing, but the will is present. But how to perform it, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then another law that even when I would do good, evil is always present. But then he says in 23, but I see another law in my members, warring. Somebody say warring.
Warring.
Say it loud. Warring.
Warring.
Warring. It's a yo. He said, I see a war. There's a war. Listen, don't worry about the war in the White House.
Come on.
Don't worry about the war on the political front. Don't worry about the war in the country. Don't worry about the war in Philadelphia. Guess what? You deal with the war that's in you. We got a war in my flesh. And guess what, y'all? We're over and over again, we're trying to deal with what's going on in the world through carnal means, through how we feel, through what we think, instead of being broken through the word coming by way of the cross. And guess what? When you're replaced and you deal with the war that's on the inside of you, God will give you discernment. God will lift you up above the problem, above the situation. He'll give you peace about it. He'll give you readiness about it. He'll give you a right in that mind about it. And he'll give you a discernment about it. Then you'll know how to deal with it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But you first must, listen, you deal with the war that's in you. And that's what Minister Williams was dealing with all last month. Amen. That's the best. Listen, that's the greatest war there is to fight. We got to deal with the war that's in us. And when we deal with the war that's in us, guess what? When we talk about, listen, there's something between the soul and the spirit. The stronghold that's in man, that's in between the soul and the spirit. Because you have the Spirit. We've been born again. You've got the Spirit of God. But the question is the Spirit of God being manifested to dominate the soul? The presence of God, the Spirit of God must dominate the presence of your soul. Because guess what? In the soul, you got your mind. You got your will. In the soul, you got your emotion. You got your reason. You got your conscience. And guess what? You even got your church. Amen. And you got religion. And there's people in the church doing church out of the soul. Amen. And the Spirit of God has nothing to do with it. Y'all know that? Amen. And guess what? We were born in the church. I say it all the time. Man, we know how to do church. We know how to give God glory. We know how to clap our hands. We know how to say amen. We know how to do the church. And it's called Soul Church. We had Soul Train. Y'all remember Soul Train? We got Soul Plane. It was a movie called Soul Plane. Snoop Dogg was driving the plane. We got soul music. We got soul food. And guess what, y'all? We got Soul Church. And I'm telling y'all, a majority of people in the church, a lot of churches are having church in the soul, and the presence of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God has nothing to do with it. And that's why people can come in and preach Black Lives Matter messages and do all these other things out of the soul, out of the sake of doing good. And the Spirit of God, the power of Christ, has nothing to do with it. Listen, my Bible doesn't say you will know them by their works. It doesn't say you will know them by their gifts. The Bible doesn't say you will know them by their anointing. The Bible doesn't say any of that. But the Bible says you will know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. And guess what? If we don't deal with the message of co-crucifixion, the message of death, the message of brokenness, guess what? You're having church in the soul. And y'all know what? When we don't deal with the gospel message, co-crucifixion, death to your life, death to self, death to my flesh, when we don't deal with that, guess what? We are no threat to the devil. And so we'll have the soul on one side and the Spirit of God that's being smothered on the other side. Your soul is controlling your body. Your soul is dictating your body. How you feel, what you see, what you think, watching the news, all this other stuff is controlling your and not only that, but these strongholds come in. And guess what? When we don't deal with it, guess what? Satan is sitting back with his arms, with his legs crossed, filing his nails right in your soul. And he's got you hook, line, and sinker because you're not willing to take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ. Amen. We need the fruit of the Spirit. We need his love. We need his joy. We need his peace. Amen. And that only comes through the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. I got one more thing to talk about, and then we're gonna close out. And just real quick, so when we talk about Paul, we're gonna go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, back to our text here. And it says here, listen, it says here. Now, when he said, I came not unto you in myself, but by meekness and gentleness, who in the presence and base among you, right, being absent and bold toward you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, right? And not that he wasn't scared of me. And guess what? We go out on the street. And Lord knows we ain't scared. So here, when he talks about, listen, this word is like a meat grinder. It does. Man, this word, when we talk about co-crucifixion, this word can grind you. It can make a hard man soft in a good way. It can abase you. It can bring you down. It can crush the very bones. Paul, David talks about the bones which you have broken. Man, the word will, man, your enemies, you will love them. People that you're holding stuff against, people can hold stuff. Guess what? You'll have the can't help it. You'll love. You'll forgive. You'll let go attitudes. All because of the word. With meekness, the engrafted word of God. It's the word that breaks a man. It's the word. And we talk about meekness, humility, and weakness. Those three words, we talk about that, right? Numbers 12:3. We're going to turn here and then we're going to close. Numbers 12:3 says, now Moses was a very humble man, more so than any man on the face of the earth. We talk about being broken. Listen, and these are fruits of the Spirit. Let me get back there. Fruits of the Spirit. We talk about, listen, the humility, meekness, and weakness. Man, when God sees that, when he sees the heart of a woman, of a man, who's willing to be bucked like the donkey. If God could use a donkey, and you humble yourself, and you cut, and listen, and you can't do it, it's the cross that must eliminate the flesh. Eliminate you, that Christ comes up and the fruit produces like the vine and the branch. The branch can't produce no fruit. It's the vine and the branch that produces the fruit. And guess what? Man, what in the world is a big old apple tree doing producing sour grapes? Amen. The fruit will bear image to the tree and the fruit will be noticeable. The fruit will give impact to life, and the fruit will nourish somebody else. That's the fruit of the Spirit. But it's through our being, like crushed grapes. You got to step on them, and they crush them to make wine. Guess what? God's got to do that to us. And when we're in love with the Word of God, we won't mind dying. We won't mind going through. Because the power of Christ rests upon us. The Bible says, we're troubled on every side, but not distressed. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about. He's got to do that to squeeze his life out of this whole lump of clay. And man, this is a story I love, and we're going to close. We're going to read this. Numbers. Everybody turn with me to Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers 12 verse 3. And it says, now Moses, right, was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Listen, the Bible's not wasting ink. So when the Bible says, when God said that there was not found a more meek person than Moses, and how God used him to deliver a nation out of bondage because of his meekness. Amen. And his low abasement. And you look at the life of Joseph, he was meek. You look at Abraham, you look at David. Y'all know David was content with the smelly sheep. David was meek. And even when David sinned, guess what? He knew how to get back. And guess what? Yes, you messed up. I messed up. We all, listen, but you got to know how to get back. You got to know how to get to a place of brokenness. And get back to a place of meekness. So it says here in 3, listen what it says. And then it says, now the man Moses was very meek. And then verse 4 says, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out And the Lord came down by a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam and they that came both. And the reason why God had to come down is because he had to straighten some things out. Amen. And because it says in verse 12:1, that Miriam and Aaron, they spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he married. For he married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by, did the Lord only speak by you? That's what they said. They said, you can't be, listen, you ain't the only spokesperson for God. I got a vision. I got a dream. This is what we should do. And Marion, she was the ringleader. Amen. And the Lord said in verse 6, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. But my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak? Why were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And this is what the Bible says. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off of the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was a leper. And y'all know what? Moses had to pray to God and intercede for Miriam. Amen. Amen. And then she had to stay out the camp for a whole week until the Lord would allow her to come back in the camp. Amen. When you go against the Lord, and I'm not talking about, listen, I'm not saying this for anybody or for any preacher. Bible says, touch not my anointed. Do not my prophet any harm. Somebody called me talking about a preacher or pastor. Guess what? If he in that position, man, like we said earlier, you got to shut your mouth. Amen. And when you see different people coming against what God has set forth, guess what? It's not your battle to fight it. Let the Lord fight it. Amen. Let the Lord fight. You can't respond out of your flesh. Moses didn't respond. He didn't get all upset with them. He said, let them keep on. That's all he said. And Miriam turned white like a leper. And there were those, the spirit of Korah, and different ones that spoke against the Lord and spoke against Moses. Amen. And all the time, God had to deal with them. Amen. So just be encouraged. We're going to finish this next week. Just dealing with coming by way of the cross. Next week, we're going to get more into the stronghold. Amen. We're going to deal with that. And when we talk about the battle, where the battle is between the soul and the spirit, right? When there are strongholds in our life, amen, they hinder. These are high buildings. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, amen, they exalt themselves. It could be a spirit of procrastination. It could be a spirit, and I had a list. We're going to deal with this next week. We talk about strongholds real quick. I need 2 minutes for this. Listen, we talk about, when we don't deal, Paul had to deal with what he used to be. We're going to deal with it next week. Read Philippians chapter 3. Paul had to deal with what he used to be, right? That those things, we talked about his thorn in the flesh. If Paul could get a thorn in the flesh, God could send us a thorn in the flesh. That nothing comes in between the presence of God from permeating our soul. We talk about types of strongholds, bitterness, People have bitterness, resentment, hate, unforgiveness, anger, violence, revenge, and those things set up shop in the heart. It set up shop. We could go through the line. Jealousy, sexual impurity, rejection. People that have been rejected. Amen. People that are insecure. And each one of these strongholds have reasonings that are associated with them. And these reasonings go out to protect that stronghold and make excuses for why you got to continue in your addiction. Amen. Or continue in your habits. Or continue. And all the while, guess what? The devil will let you have church with your legs crossed, chilling. And there's no, what's that verse? What's that verse, Ms. Williams? Amen. And there's no deliverance of the flesh. There's no deliverance. We're going to look at that next week. Amen. So we have this list. We're going to try to get it out. Those who want the list, we've had this list from a long time ago. We're going to be dealing with some of these type of strongholds. Amen. And how each one of them have a reason or an excuse that's associated to each stronghold. Amen. Right. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless you, honor you, worship you, reverence you, and adore you just for who you are. We thank you, oh God, for your light. We thank you, oh God, for to know, oh Lord, that we are not redeemed by silver and gold, but it's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So, Father God, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for our propitiation, that you were the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God, we thank you. We bless you, oh God. We lift you up. And we pray, oh God, just for a deeper relationship, deeper fellowship with you, that your word will grind us like a meat grinder, oh God, that your word will take the axe of the spirit and chop it to the root of the things in us that are not right. Father, we bind and rebuke every satanic attack, every spirit of the enemy, oh God, demonic spirits, generational curses, oh God. These strongholds, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of you, O God. These steel buildings, these skyscrapers, these excuses, O God, that we make of why we can't do whatever, O God. Father, we pray, O God, that you just bring them down unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. And you said, having a readiness to avenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. Father, we pray for spiritual growth. Oh God, we pray, oh God, that you said, if I be lifted up from the world, from the earth, that I would draw all men even unto myself. Father, we pray that you be glorified, that you be magnified, that you be honored, and that you be praised. God, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Because, Lord, you said if we come by way of the cross, oh God, that we will produce fruit. That you will produce fruit. The Spirit will. Just give us more love, more joy, more peace, more gentleness, more meekness, oh God. More long-suffering, oh God. Help us, oh God, to forgive. Help us, oh God, every chain, every attack of the enemy, every hex, vex, root, oh God, anything that's an attack or an raid against the knowledge of who you are, oh God, that does not your word want your word to flourish, oh God. Pray for the schools. We pray for our teachers. We pray against the spirit of molestation, oh God, the spirits of a touch, the spirit of pornography, the spirit of these video games, oh God, anything where the Satan wants to come in and hinder our young people, oh God, we bind and rebuke it right now. God, have your way. For it's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Let everybody say amen.